Hi, you're tuned to Truth News Radio Australia on the 2nd of April 2016. Welcome to Truth News. My name's Hereward Fenton. And today, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be talking about Donald Trump. First time I've actually mentioned that name on this show. And I've certainly been a little bit lax in keeping abreast of what's going on in the American presidential race. And I think I've had the perspective that a lot of us do, looking upon it from afar and having seen so many previous presidential races and nominations and people come and go, that you tend to think it's all pretty irrelevant, and you tend to think that the people who end up becoming president are all pre-picked, and that the appearance of a debate, the appearance of different policies, the appearance of democratic process is largely false, that it is really scripted. And I still adhere to that viewpoint. But there's something that we miss when we become too deeply immersed in that kind of very cynical and somewhat hopeless perspective on what is actually going on in you know, the most powerful nation in the world. Let's face it, the United States is the most powerful nation state on the planet. We tend to forget that democracy is not just an idea, and it is not just a pretense. Democracy is a very real principle. It's something that derives from the very earliest civilizations in Greece. It goes back more than 2,000 years, and it, I believe, is intrinsic to something deep within human nature, or the striving of humanity. So when we become too cynical and too embedded in a sort of fatalistic, hopeless view of things, that is not really leading us in the direction that we need to go. Because I believe that the way we need to go and the way we're destined for is a better world. And democracy, in its truest sense, and I mean that in the sense of the true meaning of the word, which simply means rule of the people, demokrasi, is what we are destined for. It is about empowerment. Democracy simply means, in its truest form, that the people self-rule rather than being ruled by vested oligarchies, feudal overlords, brutal dictators, or deceptively polished leaders like Barack Obama, who in reality answer to corporate masters, and while giving us a superficial PR routine to make us feel comfortable, are basically just acting out the agenda of the true ruling power, the hidden government, the shadow government. So today I'm going to talk about Donald Trump, because every now and then someone comes along who gives you a taste of what true democracy might be. And bear in mind, these people that come along are far from perfect, and far from the ideal, even example, of what a democratic leader should ideally be, right? Because we are still striving and struggling to get out of the depths of this feudal, brutal system that we have evolved out of as a species. America has produced some leaders along those lines. I'm thinking Abraham Lincoln, I'm thinking of John F. Kennedy, and I'm thinking Donald Trump. Now, that may surprise you, and it certainly surprises me to be saying this, because my initial perspective on Donald Trump was very negative. And when I first started looking into this, when I first started researching him and what he had said and what his positions were, I thought, no, this guy is just a puppet. This guy is just being used. This guy is just a useful idiot. This guy is just there to divide and destroy the Republican Party so that the anointed one, Hillary Clinton, can gain power. And, you know, that was a reasonable hypothesis based on the evidence that was available at the time. But I was a little slow to pick up on all of the other evidence that was there. And the main reason being, I didn't actually sit down and watch one of Trump's speeches until about 2 or 3 weeks ago. It never occurred to me to do that. Since then, I've been watching them obsessively, and I've watched his speeches in Ohio and in Arizona and most recently in Wisconsin. And I've also watched a lot of his interviews, and I've picked up a pretty good grasp of what he has to say, what he represents. And here's where I have to really articulate something that's difficult to perhaps understand, that a leader can really change things. A leader can disrupt the secret power of the hidden oligarchies. And it can happen when the wrong guy gets to become in that position of power. You see, the way the oligarchies operate is that they cultivate and groom leaders who aren't really leaders. It's a faux term. It's not really true. They're not really leaders. They are puppets. But we perceive them as leaders, and of course the propaganda machine known as the mainstream media uses this language to help us believe that they are leaders, when in fact they are mere functionaries. And almost all of your recent presidents have been along those lines, mere functionaries. But as I said at the beginning, there is a striving within humanity. There is a struggle. There is an emergent possibility that we may become free. And this occasionally manifests in an individual who rises above, and sometimes rises above his own origins and his own baser motives, and becomes, I would say, ennobled. And sometimes this happens as a result of the feedback that he gets from the people. And this definitely happened with Kennedy. And I believe it happened with Martin Luther King. I believe it happened with Mahatma Gandhi. There is a two-way process. And sometimes people who start out being, not that great, possibly quite self-centered, become ennobled or become infused with an idea that's greater than themselves. And this is actually what I think has happened with Donald Trump. And I know a lot of people will completely reject what I'm saying and will probably think I've gone loopy. Because, I mean, here he's this very rich guy. He's part of the super elite. And one could argue that he's just pursuing his self-interest, that he's narcissistic, that he is playing games, that he is in fact possibly colluding with the power elites to, as has been suggested from certain quarters, to simply absorb a lot of votes, and then divide the Republican Party, because Hillary Clinton is the one that they want in, and Hillary Clinton is known to be able to do exactly what's required. You know, she can be trusted. And there's probably no one else that they really want to be the puppet leader of the United States at this point in time. Now, of course, there are many things that Trump has said that I totally disagree with and even abhor. And this is where I began with my research of Donald Trump. His statements about torture are ridiculous, and I totally reject what he said in regard to torture. I totally reject what he said about banning Muslims. But I want to qualify that by saying that even though I reject what he said about it, the fact that he admitted that there is a real problem is very, very important. Because you see, that simple fact that there is a real problem here, that there really is a massive problem with radical Islam, is somehow being ignored. And despite the war on terror, despite 9/11 and 15 years of, you know, this constant war on terror against Al-Qaeda, somehow, and it's happened as America has kind of veered more towards the left, is that this threat of the complete enmity and the completely anti-democratic and evil nature of radical Islam has just been continually glossed over. They just, people don't want to face it. They don't want to admit it. And this is part of another theme, which I have to expand upon as well in this show. But it is part of the general theme of political correctness and what we might say cultural Marxism, which is something that that I also recently have come to understand better. And the turning a blind eye to the really purely evil and existential threat that is represented by these maniacs who go around beheading people and blowing things up is actually tied to a whole lot of other things in the left progressive or regressive, as many people are now terming it, viewpoints, which embodies many paradoxes and contradictions, and that we have to be super tolerant of these fanatical, homosexual, you know, murdering, monstrous people, while at the same time is we have to be massively intolerant of anyone who questions same-sex marriage or says anything derogatory about women. And it all kind of flows and interconnects. We are going to break. I hope you're going to enjoy today's show. I'll be right back after this break. Welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio, and my subject today in the first hour is Donald Trump. In the second hour, and there is going to be a second hour to today's show, you'll be pleased to know, in the second hour I am going to be talking about a different subject altogether. I'll just give you a quick preview of that. I'm going to be talking about vaccines and Andrew Wakefield in the context of the furore over the film, which was initially slated to be shown at the Tribeca Film Festival and which was then withdrawn after Robert De Niro received a whole lot of threats. Okay, he didn't describe them as threats, but, you know, there was certainly a lot of negativity thrown his way about screening this film, Vaxxed, which was directed by Andrew Wakefield, the man who is described as the disgraced British doctor. And this subject is one which is very, very complicated. But in the second hour, I'm going to return to some of the themes about Andrew Wakefield, which I've discussed in the past. And I probably have to go over a lot of ground because a lot of people who are listening to the show now might not have heard the other shows I've done on. I've done a lot on this. It is very complicated, but it is very important to understand the detail of this. Otherwise, you are likely to be snowed over by the egregious disinformation, the panoply of lies that comes out of mainstream media every time they open their mouth on this subject. I mean, every sentence, every paragraph, every article is just full of the most outrageous and dishonest smears against Dr. Andrew Wakefield that the average person probably simply cannot believe, because you know, Hitler famously said that if you want to lie, you need to make the lie so huge, because people will tend to believe things that are, well, people will tend to be skeptical that someone would lie on such a huge scale. People will tend to think that that other people will lie over small things, but the idea that they would tell massive furphies, that they would just completely and evilly misdirect you and falsify information is beyond most people's grasp, because most people are inherently honest. And that was a famous quote from Hitler's Mein Kampf. But we will get onto that in the second hour, and it's actually a very, very interesting topic. But I'm going to continue in this hour with my personal excursion, rant, you may say, on Donald Trump. And I hope I provoke some thought, and I'm quite comfortable with the fact that you may completely disagree with what I'm saying. And I'm not deeply sure of many of the things that I'm saying. But what I do, what I can say, is that I have a very deep gut feeling on this. The world has reached a certain point. The United States has reached a certain point. The reign of evil that we've been living under, I think, is coming up with its biggest conflict, its biggest opposition. I mean, there is a true reign of evil on this planet at this time. And anyone with open eyes and an open heart, regardless of their political persuasion, knows that that's true. And that's why even the biggest opponent that Trump has, which is Bernie Sanders, who I'll actually get to in this hour, actually crosses over with Donald Trump in certain aspects in relation to that. It's just that Bernie Sanders is locked in to a completely different paradigm, and one which I believe is hopelessly flawed and is actually infiltrated by the very people that Bernie Sanders would position himself as being opposed to. And the reasons for that are perhaps complex as well. But let's stick with Trump for now, because I want to kind of gather together what I see as being the most important policy positions that Donald Trump has raised or alluded to. And bear in mind, you know, none of this, he's not committed to most of this. Some of these have been promises, some of these have just been statements of intent. But of course, we know from the past that much of what a candidate says before being elected is reneged on after they come in. So none of this can be construed as being absolutely locked in and this will be what happens. However, the things that he has said are quite extraordinary. And that's why they really need to be all, you know, brought together and considered and focused upon. Because when you look at all the things that he said, what he wants to do, the direction in which he wants to go, the position he takes on various things, it's incredibly revolutionary. And I say far more revolutionary than Bernie Sanders. And I mean that in a very deep structural way. And of course, bear in mind, there are certain things he says that I deplore. And I put those off to one side. As I said, his position on torture, his position on sort of demonizing a religion, I put that off to one side. But even so, despite that, all of the other things that he said amount to so much that's actually so important that I think it outweighs my concerns about the other things. And I'll just run through with you my list of bullet points here that represent the most radical and momentous changes that Donald Trump wants to bring in for the United States, but this will affect the entire world. Donald Trump wants to end toxic free trade, what you might call globalization, in its negative connotation. And by that, I don't mean he wants to end free trade. He wants to end the situation whereby the corporate oligarchies can reap insane profits by offshoring all of their GDP, all of the production that they're involved in to China, where people work as slaves and have suicide nets around the slave factories where they work for some outrageous amount of money and live in horrendous pollution and die from all kinds of diseases and toxicities created by this horrible environment that they have to live in order to produce consumer goods for Americans and by extension for Australians and Canadians and Europeans and all the people who in the world who are of a higher socioeconomic status who can afford to buy those products. And that's called free trade. That's described as free trade. Whereas in fact it's a despotic, evil, feudalistic system that has been allowed by law, it's been permitted by the phony puppet governments that these corporations control. We're going to break. You're with Truth News Radio. Stay with us. It's going to be an interesting show. Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. And I'd just like to say, you know, it's really interesting to do this podcast and discover that there is so much information out there to be discovered and to be conveyed, which we're not seeing through all of the multifarious media sources that we have, that we're simply not seeing. And I put it to you that anyone can do this work. Anyone can do this research. It's just a question of putting a bit of time into it and looking at all the sources, using your own eyes, using your own ears, and using your own mind. And really, that is all I'm doing on today's show. I'm certainly not bringing you any startlingly new information. But as I said, perhaps the biggest, the most radical, the most revolutionary thing that Donald Trump is proposing is to end this toxic free trade arrangement with China. He wants to put import tariffs on products that are made by US companies that are operating in China. There are currently tariffs, but they're very, very low. He wants to massively increase those tariffs. And by doing so, he will drag those companies back to the United States. And so this whole offshoring thing will end. And, you know, that will just have such an incredible effect on the world that it is incalculable what will occur if that policy could be put in place. And I'm not saying it will. I'm not saying he's really going to do it. He said he wants to do it. But of course, he may actually get into power and completely renege on that. But it is what needs to happen. And the fact that he's said it is extraordinary enough, because no other presidential candidate, including Bernie Sanders, has said that. So that to me is probably number one. Next thing I want to raise is that Donald Trump has actually talked in a lot of detail about reducing the US involvement in NATO, and he's even questioned the existence of NATO itself. Now, there's no presidential candidate who's ever said that. It runs completely against the power elite agendas to say that. It is actually a type of heresy, and I believe that the oligarchy, seeing Donald Trump make statements like this, perceive him as a total traitor, a traitor to his class, because you're not supposed to say that. You know, that makes Donald Trump sound like Vladimir Putin. And I'm sure Vladimir Putin is quite happy about Donald Trump having this position in relation to NATO, considering the vice-like sort of squeezing of Russia by all the different NATO states and missile shields and the huge build-up of military force by NATO around Russia. So again, by taking this position, he must be perceived as the most incredible traitor. But, you know, he's done it in such a way that he has still kept huge support from within the heartlands of the American conservative voters, which is very interesting indeed, because it shows you that the average conservative voter in the US doesn't really invest much in this empire thing, right? It's not really, because you know what? It's not really important to ordinary people. It is not what ordinary people are interested in. It is purely a concept, a fictitious concept, which in reality is about oppression. It's about oppression of people overseas, and it is about oppression of people within the empire too, because there are all kinds of sacrifices that you've got to make all the time for the sake of this this, you know, great power and force that you project. Now, this position on NATO dovetails with a non-interventionist foreign policy. And he's saying that America needs to be less involved in jumping in and interfering in other countries. And this is a pragmatic position, and there have been some people who've said that. Ron Paul certainly advocated that position. But Donald Trump has upped the ante. Donald Trump has suggested that the US should withdraw its troops from Japan and South Korea. Again, massive betrayal of the ruling power structure to say that. I'm sure he was never meant or expected to say something like that. He has suggested that Japan and South Korea should develop nuclear weapons so that they can defend themselves, so they don't need the United States to defend them. Again, these are massive positions. He has said he wants to work with Russia to destroy ISIS. And what's interesting is, you know, he wants to crush ISIS, and he's very aggressive when he talks about this. And he wants the US military to be very strong. But he wants it to be strong in relation to specific threats, not in relation to sort of maintaining an empire. And that's the key difference. Now, a few other things. He wants to withdraw from the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And in that, he has a comrade in arms by the name of Bernie Sanders. They both don't want to be part of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Now, his main reason is because it is a limitation on free trade. And for all of those reasons, which we were talking about just before, he wants to bring jobs back to the United States. He wants to improve employment prospects for Americans by making the economy more vibrant, and he believes that the TPP is against that. He believes he wants to end the Common Core curriculum, which is a federalized educational system which a lot of people really, really despise. Now, I don't know a tremendous amount about it, but I follow it on Facebook, and it appears to be, you know, it's a very centralized education methodology, which many teachers feel is not appropriate. It takes away the power of teachers to do things their own way. It's all about centralization and control, and sort of, it's an empire building type approach to education. Everything must be done the same way, exactly everywhere. And a lot of what they teach, apparently, with mathematics is just terrible. You know, it doesn't really cultivate independent thinking. It sort of cultivates a kind of formularized way of thinking. It cultivates using rote memory learned methods to achieve results rather than understanding the intrinsic concepts. Now, of course, he wants to reduce illegal immigration, and of course, that is a massive problem in the US. We're not talking about, as we have in Australia, asylum seekers. We're just talking about people who stream over the border completely under the radar and stay in America indefinitely, illegally. This is a huge problem there, and so he wants to build a wall to stop that. And I can't say I can't fault that. But, of course, that has produced an enormous backlash from the left-wing progressives. And one other thing, just as we go to break, and this is only something he's alluded to, but it's very, very significant. He's said that vaccines cause autism. Now, no presidential candidate has ever said that in such a blunt way. And this, obviously, is going to really upset the power elite as well, especially in the current atmosphere. So his position on vaccines causing autism is very, very important, folks. We're just going to break in the Truth News Radio Australia. Stay with us.
What happens in terms of creating wars is a mind manipulation technique called problem-reaction-solution. And it works like this. First of all, you create the problem, but you get someone else to be blamed for it. You then report that problem through the media in the way you want it reported. You get the public to react to your problem by saying something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it?
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. And my subject today is Donald Trump. First time I've covered this on the show. And I've tried to put a lot of work into it. I've done my homework. And I think I've got some interesting talking points to raise with you. In fact, we've already got through three quarters of the show, and I feel like I've only just started. But, and as first hour, second hour, I'm talking about Andrew Wakefield, vaccines, the movie Vaxxed, which was cancelled from the Tribeca Film Festival. I'm going to be going into some detail there about that. But let's just focus on Trump for now. Now, let's have a look at the criticisms of Trump, because this is very important and very telling. Now, apart from the criticisms that I've said that I agree with, I don't agree with that, you know, he said that we should torture people. Obviously that's wrong, but, you know, at least he's kind of said it openly, and it's like his opinion, right, which to me is far better than what we've had with previous presidents, including all of them, you know, Obama, Bush, and Cheney, who was probably had more influence than Bush, that these people have kind of played a double game the whole time. They've kind of said, oh, yes, we respect the law and we don't do this, and they're doing it. And they never really admit it. And then it comes out that it really happened. And then they try to apologize for it. I mean, Trump just came out and said, yeah, we need to torture people. He's incredibly blunt. And of course, he wins a lot of support by this incredibly blunt, direct, honest position. And even if you completely disagree with him, you have to give him some brownie points for being so direct about what he thinks. Same about his position on a temporary ban of Muslims coming into the country. Again, I don't think it's a solution. He seems to have retracted from that position. I haven't heard it mentioned again. It was late last year, in 2015, when those statements came up. He's actually made much more cautious statements since then. But by far the focus, I would say, of most of the attacks on Donald Trump have been in this area of political incorrectness. And of course, this is something that he himself talks about and derides and makes a mockery of. And it's something that so many of us now are sick to death of. But it's still very influential among a huge sector of our population, because so many people, so many kids have grown up with this indoctrination about political correctness, about how you're meant to behave, and all these little things you must and mustn't do to not offend various interests and minorities in society, that there is a deep, deep guilt complex embedded in many, many people. And it can be triggered so easily. The buttons can be pushed. And, you know, you can control people. You can turn people into kind of zombie Trojans, because you basically activate these buttons in them and say, here, look, that person over there, you know, he said something sexist. He said a nasty thing about a woman. You know, he said he was against same-sex marriage. Oh, he's a racist. And you can trigger people, because people become completely irrational. And a lot of these protesters at the Trump rallies are in that state. They're completely deranged. And I've watched a lot of the video of it. They look like people who have mental issues. They don't look like people who are very healthy, a lot of them. They look disturbed. They emerge from the milieu of the indoctrinated progressive left, who you could almost view as patsies. They've been cultivated to become the way they are, through decades of indoctrination, and most of them are underachievers. Most of them look like people who are somewhat lacking in their own achievements, in their own realization of their potential. And so we get these accusations that Trump is sexist, that he's xenophobic, that he's homophobic, that he's racist, that he's overly aggressive. And in the interviews I've seen where people are asked specifics, like specifically, what do you object to about Trump? They can't even think of something, because these are just mantras. That's the way it works, and that's the way the doctrines of cultural Marxism work, is that they don't engage the thinking mind very much. They engage a kind of a more deeper reptilian part of the brain, which is just kind of raw emotion and quite often hatred. So you accuse someone of being sexist. You accuse someone of being xenophobic. You accuse someone of being homophobic. You accuse someone of being Islamophobic. And buttons are pushed. Somewhere in the subcortex, little buttons get pushed and people suddenly get enraged. And if you really try to focus, well, what did Trump really say? Well, here and there he said some things that are wrong, that I disagree with, but they're few and far between, actually. But he's not apologetic for what he says. And he's quite willing to go on the attack against those who are attacking him. I mean, he continually calls mainstream media people disgusting. He uses the word disgusting over and over again. People like Megyn Kelly. So many of these people in the corporate media in the US, he calls them utterly disgusting. He's unmasked these people. See, that normally they get away with being viewed as, well, we're just journalists, you know, we're just here to report on information. Whereas in fact, they are covert operatives working to an agenda which is tightly tied in with the corporate elite and the CIA. We know that. It's proven from history. There are declassified documents that show it going back decades. It's completely co-opted. It is, as Edward Bernays said, it is the secret government that rules and controls people through manipulating their thoughts through propaganda. So now we're almost at the end of the hour, and I wanted to bring up Bernie Sanders, but here's my very, very quick summary of Bernie Sanders. See, if I thought Bernie Sanders was really, really important and interesting, I would spend more time on it. I'm not spending any time on Hillary Clinton because we all know that she's completely phony, right? So we don't really have to go there. But Bernie Sanders certainly has an air of sincerity to him, and I certainly wouldn't say he's in the same league of these truly wicked people, like the Clintons, like Obama, like the Bushes. However, it may be that he's simply lacking a little bit. You know, it's incredible, but even though the man has been, you know, congressman for over 16 years, high public office, obviously done a lot of due diligence, well-educated, it may simply be that his IQ or his EQ, you know, his ability to see deeper into the nature of reality is just not that good. Because he has adopted wholesale the what to me are the most obvious cliches of socialism that don't even challenge the status quo, that don't do anything to challenge the status quo to the extent that what Donald Trump has suggested. Donald Trump, who is a conservative, you know, who was a capitalist. What Donald Trump is saying is far more revolutionary. Summary of my bullet points for Bernie Sanders. is as follows. He wants to eliminate a bunch of tax deductions for corporations. He wants to eliminate offshore tax havens for corporations. He wants to eliminate wealth inequality. Now, these are all tried and true positions of democratic socialism, right? Wealth redistribution, increasing taxes for the rich, and potentially lowering taxes for the working class. And this solution to bring equality is something that has been spouted by many people going back many generations. And it has huge problems with it, folks. It has the problem being, right, that by making the government the vehicle to aggressively acquire more wealth and power, the government itself becomes part of the problem. And we already have a situation where the government and the corporations are interpenetrated. So increasing taxes, giving all this money to the government, is only going to reinforce all of the inequity and all of the corruption that already exists. And that includes things like universal healthcare, which is another one of his platforms, because of the totally corrupt relationship between Big Pharma and the government. You know, he says we need to bring in universal healthcare. Bernie Sanders is a huge proponent of universal healthcare. But he doesn't question what that care is. He just assumes that, the medical profession knows how to take care of us, and we just want to make sure that that's paid for through a taxation system. But whereas, in fact, the medical profession is held hostage by this grotesque pharmaceutical industry and is totally corrupt. Women's rights, LGBT rights, immigrants' rights, and, of course, climate change action. Again, another situation where Bernie Sanders wants to raise taxes to make the government bigger and stronger to tackle climate change. And sorry, I have run out of time in the first hour to address all that, but it seems that a lot of these things are already debunked. But I hope you enjoyed that. Now, do stay for the second hour, because we are going to be talking vaccines, Andrew Wakefield, and the movie Vaxxed. We'll be right back after the second hour, after the news break.